Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting from Atlanta, Georgia, this is The Bright Side with Technisha.
A daily broadcast on real-life issues that will keep you motivated.
And now, here's your host, Technisha.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today is March the 24th, 2014, and you're tuning into another episode of The Bright Side with Technisha. And unfortunately, in Atlanta today, it is pretty chilly. We know it's springtime, but we have to be patient. The heat is not here just yet. But on the line, I do have Marianne Cristiano Mistretta. Did I say the last name correctly, Mistretta?
That's correct, right.
Okay. Now, she's in New Jersey, so she's feeling us. She knows what it's like. It's actually cold for her, too. But we don't have to worry about her being in the heat right now. Now, Marianne is the author of a book called On the Guest List, which is a very interesting book. It's all about her life and being a journalist. We're speaking about bullying. So, as always, keep your ears and your eyes open, and thank you for tuning in today. So, Marianne, can you tell about your history in the music scene?
Oh, it was great because I always loved music, and that's all in my book about how we always had music in the house growing up. And I'm 50 now, so I grew up in the 70s. So we always had Sonny and Cher and Dean Martin and all the variety shows on television. Some of my early cassettes, I had Diana Ross and just so much great music always in the house. So it was something that I was addicted to early on.
Oh, yeah, the music in the 70s was awesome. Who else? Al Green, Love and Happiness.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I don't know why I can't think of his name. Grapevine. Why I can't think of his name?
Johnny Mathis? Johnny Mathis?
Marvin Gaye, that's who I was thinking
Marvin
of.
Marvin Gaye, yep.
Yeah, those was the good days. Mom, I grew up on that, and a lot of people figure, why do I know so much? Because I'm a 1983 baby. I'm Generation Y. We're the generation they call lazy. Yeah, so I grew up on a lot of them songs. Them songs meant something, though, back then. It wasn't, and to me, with the way the music is now, I love rap. Well, I love the rap and the hip-hop culture and everything, but it's just that the songs wasn't as, as violent. Back then, like, it wasn't let me hit you and all that. No, them songs, I wanted to love you and treat you right, the man knew how to treat the woman. Those are good times.
Yeah, really good times. Yeah, my grandmother was a short order cook in a bar, and I used to go with her and watch the band. So I was really into music at a young age.
I know, right?
But the thing was, I tried, as many times as I tried to be in a band, it just never worked out. And then I started writing, and luckily I got into many places where I was able to write and go to shows and write about music, and that's what the book's about.
And see, that's awesome. See, you got the experience. I wish I would have started young because journalism is my thing, too, and I'm still trying to work on being a news reporter, but I guess I didn't have that boost so that for somebody to actually say, okay, this is what you need to do. So mine came years later on, about 12, I started getting interested because I started watching Oprah Winfrey and Monica Kaufman, who is now Monica Pearson. So, yeah, me and you are on the same boat. And that's why I tell people journalism goes a long ways. You can go into music, entertainment, local, international. It's just so much in that variety. And that's why I went into radio, because of that. I said, well, if I can't get a job, report, hey, I'll start my own show.
Oh, that's great. That's a great story.
Mary, what, if you didn't mind me calling you Mary.
Oh, I like calling Mary. Mary is good.
Okay, Mary, what drew your interest to music writing?
What are my interests in music writing?
What drew your attention to that?
Because I was just so fascinated by the music, and it wasn't enough for me to go to a concert. It wasn't enough. I had to share my feelings with the world, so that's why I like to write about it. So that's why I got into like music.com, Punk Magazine, the Aquarian Arts Weekly, so many publications. These are all New York and New Jersey publications, but some are online too, so everyone got to see them. And also a lot of subculture magazines like the tattoo magazines. I would interview people who are tattooed, artists that were tattoos, and that went all over the world. So it was really, really a cool thing to do.
So did you ever take classes on things like writing, music notation, and all that, or composition?
Uh-huh, yeah. I took music 3 years of music theory in high school, and then I took writing courses by the mail. Back when I was a young adult, I took the Children's Institute of Literature by mail, Writer's Digest, and I also went to the Gotham Writers in New York City.
Now, since you're in this industry, what do you think bands should do to get noticed? Is it all about the music, or is image as important as it seems?
That's a fantastic question, because I think publicity is a great thing. They should just promote. When I was at the Montclair Times for 7 years, I worked very closely with the entertainment editor, so I did a lot of entertainment writing for the local newspaper, the Montclair Times, and we had this one young man, his name was Kate. He was a black artist, and he sounded very similar to a lot of them. He just really had it. He was great. But the thing was, he was so good at promoting himself, he was in the paper like every other week. Then we'd have more famous people like David Johansen from the New York Dolls, who, you know, didn't really promote. His publicity person at the time couldn't even give us a color photo. So that one week, I interviewed this famous David Johansen, but he couldn't be on the cover. We put Kate on the cover, which goes to show a local artist could get on the cover of the entertainment by being persistent and having all the right stuff, the right photographs, and keeping on top of everything.
And now times are changing, because 25 years ago, you didn't have the educational books that we got today. So most of what bands years ago had to learn, they had to do by trial and error, or talking to other musicians, and even reading maybe things of music, musical instruments and stuff. So, but now technology is changing. Everything is mostly online for you to promote yourself through social media.
Oh, it's excellent. Yeah, the social, because I was still at the Montclair Times. The Internet wasn't really big back then yet. It was already like 2008, but it's not. In just the 5 years, things really, really snowballed on the Internet. I've seen, like, now it's like everything with Facebook, Twitter. And that was just starting as I was leaving the Montclair Times and starting my own business. So now it's, like, amazing. It's just so fast. And even with my book, the promotional that I've done on the Internet, my publisher said that I sold more books on my first day than the average publisher sells in a year. And I said, well, that's because I'm just promoting.
Exactly. And you do. You have to keep promoting and network. Also, they always told me you got to respect feedback. When you're doing that, you gotta accept rejection and criticism, and then you have to be realistic.
Absolutely,
trying to get publicity takes time. I'm still working on my Facebook fan page, and it takes time. I have to go back and check my demographics, which area is it reaching? Because I was just talking to one of the guys who's trying to help me promote. He was like, "Well, what's your target audience? Who's this reaching? Is it reaching teenager, is it reaching women or older guys?" So he said you have to look at all that, because you don't want to just pay for something. Because Facebook now charges you just to promote your stuff. It's nothing free. It's like, okay, really? I got to pay $5. Yeah, they charge me $5 a day just to promote. I'm like, seriously, Facebook, come on now. They got to get their profit somehow. They already give you the site for free.
Yeah, they have to make some money somehow. It's an investment I'm thinking of considering.
So, Mary, do you think artists can benefit from developing a rapport with their local music journalist?
Oh, absolutely. Because whenever somebody sent me something and they followed up, it was great because it reminds you, because you're a journalist, you're working all day. When stuff comes to your desk, you might not have time to look at it, but if they remind you, you're like, oh, yes, I did receive your package. Let me take a look at it. And I think, too, by, you know, really, you know, being nice to the journalist, like not expecting that, you know, you're supposed to have this. Like, it's a courtesy. It's a courtesy. We get so much stuff. You can't do everybody. But, you know, the people that are nice and follow up and they're polite about it, sure, it really does help.
Okay. Now, you think it's easier to cultivate and entertain an image nowadays?
Probably. I said there's so much inspiration to draw from. You know, you could see everything on television. I think it's really great to pick up from other people, get ideas. And, I mean, even me as a woman that's 50, just, you know, watching television, I get ideas what to do with my hair and style. And, you know, it's very easy, I think.
Now, Mary, can you tell people out there what it really takes to be a music journalist? Because, of course, you got to have a passion for the music, but it doesn't mean just, you know, listen to your favorite bands and all day long and just getting paid for it. It's more into it, isn't it?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And when I was at the Montclair Times, I was so blessed to work with a wonderful entertainment editor. Her name was Joan Finn, and she recently passed away. But also my editor, Mark Porter, was great. He was very, very, very into music. And we were into the same types of music. We both loved the new wave and the new music, like from the 80s. And the one thing he said is, you have to know all kinds of music, not just one type of music, which I always felt I did. I was always open to all genres of music. And we had a column called That On That Note, and we'd get all kinds of new CDs that would come to the desk, and we'd write about it. And it was great because I tried everything. I did reviews on new wave, rock, heavy metal, country, Selena, everything. And I just listen to everything with an open ear. So I think you have to be very, very, very open-minded. I think that's the key thing. A good writer, not to be redundant. Another thing, great thing my editor taught me was not to use cliches. So it's like, you know, really listen to your editor, too. That gives you room to grow. Don't take it as an insult. Take everything with a grain of salt, but also grow from it.
Yeah, because a lot of people think criticism just means being critical, and it's not simply offering your opinion, but it means taking an informed and meaningful look at the way things are. You look at that music and artists and performances and writing about those topics in a way, it enhances the experience for the reader. And that's what my professor used to always say. When you're writing a news article, you want to write it to where the person feels like they were there, which is totally different from if you're reporting on television. But when you're doing that news article, you want to put as much detail in there. You want to, you don't want to just put the location. Nobody don't know where the location is because everybody don't know. So you want to be just as specific. So, yeah, you definitely write about that. You got to be a good writer. And if you feel
and
like
write from your heart, too. Write
yeah.
from your heart.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got to be. It's got to be real.
And one of the things my editor always used to tell me was he used to say that I write really good when I'm disappointed in a band. He said, when you're mad, you're really a great writer. And I think it shows it's like the passion, that passion's coming out, and it's just like, wow, this band disappointed me. I hate this album, and I'm going to just let it rip.
Now,
although that doesn't happen too many times, I prefer being the positive journalist that wrote the good reviews. I would only write a bad review if a band was super famous because then it didn't matter that this little journalist from New Jersey in a local newspaper was writing a bad review, you know?
Oh, who is she? Oh, no
yeah.
one.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, the kids that were trying to make it, I would always pick out the bands that I really liked a lot and I would push them.
Now, see, that's the best. I mean, that seems like that's the best part of the journalism world because you get to go places nobody ever really gets to go. And that's why I really want to get in there. If somebody opened a door for me, I would love to travel, even though I can do that.
Yeah, sounds like, well, I believe you can do anything you want, you know?
Oh, just to meet the certain people that you want to meet, that is awesome. Yes, I would love to meet the president. I would love to interview the president. Those are my type. I want to one day be able to sit next to Oprah Winfrey. That's how far I would. Yeah, I would love that. If she was to be on my show right now, I'd probably be speechless.
I'm sure she would.
So, Mary, how did you like to be approached when you cover bands?
I liked getting the CDs in the mail because it's like you see the CDs and it only takes 2 seconds to put them on. Well, now we have YouTube and everything, but back then before we had all the – I had a computer with no sound on it. That's how dated it was when I was doing this. But you would get the CDs in the mail and you'd listen a few notes and wow, this is a great CD. And I'll give you a great example. There was a man a musician, Coyote Shivers, and he sent me a CD, and I loved it right off the bat, and I gave him a good review, and it was funny because I got the CD late. It was like from the late 90s, and it was already 2002, and I said, you know what, this CD is so good, I'm going to review it anyway, and I gave a positive review, and he sent me an email thanking me. Now, years later, we're friends on Facebook, and he's like one of my biggest supporters. He's always pressing the like button when I'm promoting my book, and that just goes to show how one hand washes the other, and all of us, the writers, the entertainers, we all support each other, and people remember when you do nice things for them.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. That's why I always try to treat people just right. And And like you say, everything going back, everything is in the digital age now. So you could basically email somebody. That would, I would think now you could do that, to approach a journalist. You could email them. Make sure it's well-crafted, though, so you can get great advertising. Because we don't want your stuff to end up in deleted items folder. Be like, uh-oh. you never responded.
Yeah,
so it's amazing how technology really has changed.
Yeah, and technology, it just keeps snowballing. I mean, people find me so easily. In fact, one of the bands that, the first band that ever put me on the guest list was called the Plasmatics, and they were an outrageous rock band in the late 70s, early 80s, and I wrote about them a lot in my book because I was this little kid, this little teenager in school that was bullied, and the drummer put me on the guest list for their show, and I felt, wow, I got into this secret club, and somebody likes me, an older kid likes me, and I was so flattered by that, and I kept writing about this book before I put it out. I put it on my blog. Mm-hmm. I was putting all these stories. And the drummer, now this is like so many years later, contacted me through an email. And I couldn't thank him enough. Like all these years later, I was like, thank you so much for putting me on the guest list when I was a teenager. I was bullied and I felt worthless. And you did something very nice for me that I'll never forget. And he actually ended up endorsing my book.
Oh, see, now that's wonderful. I know that made you feel special, especially after getting bullied. You felt like, oh, yeah, now what you going to do? I'm the stuff now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look at me.
Yeah, I never even thought of it that way. I just, like, I mean, I put all that behind me when I left high school. Like, the first time I had a real job, I couldn't believe how nice people were. I thought, like, I was going to be driving to work and people were going to be chasing me in their cars and smashing my car up. And that's how I imagined life was going to be.
Because I was bullied. Oh, yes. I used to couldn't stand it. I was bullied in middle school and high school. I had two bullies in middle school. Because I went to Crawford W. Long Middle School in Atlanta, Georgia, and every day I would go, I would never forget their names, Shanedra Lamar and Stephanie Wall. I'm sorry if you're listening, but those two bullied me left and right. And I was like, every day I was like, are you serious? Both of their parents, both of them had everything in common. Both of their parents worked for the city of the government. Both of them were Sagittarius, and both of them were a bully to me. And I would do whatever I could to just stop them from bullying me. I would carry their books. I would carry your homework, do whatever I had to do.
Positive spin on it.
Well, see, my mother, growing up, my mother, she was a fighter. My mother would not let me be that way. She said, I'm not going to send you to school to be a fighter. You're going to go get your education. I would be upset a little bit because I'm like, well, if you teach me how to fight, I won't have to go through this problem. What you talking about? You did it. Why I can't do it? So that's what I had to go through every day with them. And then it led on to high school. Now, they didn't go to high school with me, but then I had other bullies. But the thing was, I never had gotten a fight. The verbal abuse is the one that really got me down. Because, see, everybody was bigger than me. Yeah. And, see, I was the nerd. I was the kind to do my homework. I wasn't going to sneak out and go to the party, so I was the lame one. Yeah.
Oh.
That's what they called me. I was the skinny little lame girl, the nerd. You get the homework from, you talk about it. But one day, Mayor, I snapped on this one guy. He was very tall. I say about 6 feet. I snapped on him because he just always teased me every time we got to social studies. And I said, I don't understand your problem. You always tease me, then you want paper. So one day I was not there. And I went off on him. I told him, look here, let me tell you something. If you say one more word to me, I'm going to go up there and get that long ruler, and I'm going to hit you with it. I am.
Wow.
I'm going to hit you with it. So he went and told the other guy on me. He told one of the administrators on me and tried to make it look like I was bullying him. I said, really? That's how it's going to go. Look at my height and look at him. Really? That's how we're going to And, man, I don't know what happened, but by the end of the school day, it got around that I fought with him. I was like, what? I just started him talking about me. Because one thing about my mother, I appreciate what she did for me because she did what she could. She didn't buy me no name brand, so I had to go to school without the name brand. And, Mary, during those times, you know, everybody was on the name brand style. And yes, I had on shoes that looked like Nikes, and they were not Nikes. They was from Payless. I had on Tommy Hilfiger, and somebody pulled my tag and said, you don't even have on Tommy Hilfiger. I said, this doesn't make it. I got so tired of it. You know I couldn't wait to graduate. I was so happy to graduate. I was 4 years. And that's amazing. Some of those people are on my Facebook page, and I'm like, really?
Yeah, they forget.
I can really not. I wasn't trying to take over the show, but I just had to let you know I can feel you on that. Like, I went through it.
No, it's a great story.
I mean, what experiences did you encounter with bullying?
Oh, everything. Because I was like you. I was the small, skinny one, glasses before they were fashionable. So it was like, you know, being pushed by boys and girls. My grandmother always said, give them one punch to show you're not scared. So I did. I did fight back quite a bit. I hit them on the head with books. One time a bully had me up. She had my hand. She was holding my hands and had me against the wall. So I took my thumb and I stuck it really hard into her stomach, and she just screamed. And like your story, similar to what you said, then it got around school. I beat up the bully, so I was the hero. But it's like a lot of the stories like that. But like you said, it's not the physical, because you forget about that. It's the name calling, you know, people telling you you're ugly, you're a dog, you're this, you're that, you're every day and nonstop, you know, constant. And, you know, you go home and you start believing it. You start believing you're ugly, you know. It really takes its toll on you.
Yeah, because that's how I felt. I was like, I can't keep a boyfriend. And I was, being a virgin, you know, I wasn't part of the clique. So that definitely left me out. And I used to get so offensive because, they have one of my schools online on Facebook. And I was reading one of the comments. The girl was like, oh, you remember when we used to go to the parties and everything? And I wanted to respond so bad and say, I don't remember anything because you guys never invited me to any of the parties.
Aww.
You never invited me. Even if I could sneak out, it still would have felt good just to be part of the crew. But, no, I was the one for the homework. You played all day, but I was sitting home doing my homework.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and getting back to the music, that's what that was my salvation because I would go home, go in the room and listen to music. But today kids have to do their homework on the computer, so they don't have that kind of thing. They go home and they have to do homework on the computer and they get harassed online, which is just as bad.
Yeah, that cyberbullying is really getting serious now because now we have them doing suicide. And our children shouldn't have to go through that danger. We should be able to protect our children. Now we got to be scared of the Internet. The Internet is supposed to be helpful. Now they're coming, now these harsh and dirty words are coming through, and these children, you don't even know your baby getting attacked, and they're killing themselves because of this. This is it's getting really ridiculous. This cyberbullying. And a lot of this stuff is coming from home, the parents. The parents have to be role models, too. We sit here and talk about, be nice, but the next day we're talking with our girlfriends, smacking everything about somebody else. And I think about myself, too, a little bit when I do that work. Well, the stuff I say is true. I don't be gossiping. Like, if you're lazy, you're just lazy on the job. I'm not going to do your job for you. So that's mainly what I talk about. But I'm like, am I really entertaining this? Is it the same as bullying? Because I definitely teach my daughters, don't do it. Don't go to school bullying. That's not a good thing. You don't know who you're hurting when you're doing that. You don't know what they might do when they get home. That will affect them, and thank God I didn't do that. I grew out of that.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's sad. The parents have to stop being so hypocritical. They do. They have to stop being hypocrites. Teach your children. If you don't want them doing that, don't you go do it. Don't you be a bully. And I think about that now. The older I get, like, the bullies that were doing that to me, are they teaching their children the same thing? Like,
yeah,
I hope
probably. Because I would hear rumors about, like, the bullies in the school, and I don't want to share their personal lives because it's not fair because they're not here to defend themselves. But one of the biggest bullies in the school, I heard she had a horrible home life, and the things that her dad did to her were, like, horrific. And I was like, wow, you know, now as an adult hearing this stuff, like, yeah, that makes sense why she was so mean, but why did she have to take it out on me, you know, take it out on someone your own size, because I was always the small one.
Okay, right? You'd be like, shit, what I do? If you have your own you need
but
to
they, that's what
those
they did. They picked the smallest target. They picked the little ones that are skinny.
You want to take your anger out on me? I didn't do it.
Yeah.
I think I found my niche when I got out of high school. I said, okay, well, I'm going to college now. I don't have to worry about you guys anymore. I'm moving on. And now when I see them now, they're looking a hot mess. Like, I think I still look good. Because I'm looking at them now like, wow. You were the one I had to envy because the guys liked you more. And now look at you.
That's the anger coming out.
Everything. They all picked away. One of the girls I seen, her face, she just had like an acne problem. I'm like, wow. Jesus. And this is what I had to go through. Like, you actually look out now. You like, no, you don't look so hot anymore. So, Mary, Even if you liked the music, were there turnoffs that made you disinterested in an artist's story?
Oh, this is really a funny story. This kind of goes with bullying. I used to live with a guy, and he had a cousin who was in a band, and I actually liked the band, and I saw them about like 4 or 5 times, but for some reason the cousin didn't like me for whatever reason. I later heard that I resembled a girl who dumped him, but that has no reflection on me. But he was very nasty to me. Like, he'd call her home, wouldn't say hello to me, just the guy I was living with. So it was like, you know, baby stuff like that. And then one day when I was working for one of the newspapers that was, you know, pretty big in New Jersey, the Aquarian Arts Weekly, they're actually in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, his manager sent me an email. It said in the subject line, an interview must. And then I read who it was. I said, why would I want to talk to this guy? He was mean to me for so many years. So I just deleted the email. I said, you know, somebody else could interview him. I'm not, you know, doing anything bad by not interviewing him, but I wouldn't feel comfortable. So I just deleted it, and that was that.
Yeah, like, are you serious? You never spoke to me one time, ignored me like I was dirt. Now you're sending me an email? Like,
Take
care of your email. You know, look, Mary, you know I was going to already say, you know what you can do with your email, right?
Yeah. And I understand not everyone's going to get along perfectly, but I did nothing to this person, you know. I did nothing to him. So it was kind of weird.
You were grown at the time, right?
Oh yeah, my late 20s.
Yeah, and that's real childish when you get at that age.
Yeah, when people pull that, like,
Sometimes my job reminds me of that. They act like they're in High School Musical or something. We're just not singing. Because it'd be gossiping like, just the stupid little stuff. Like I said, I know I might say, okay, so-and-so and think I'm going to keep cleaning up and you're lazy. I might comment on that. But just to sit around and talk about somebody all day, I don't have time for that. That's just...
Yeah. You want to talk about nice things. Like, a lot of my friends are also, you know, creative. So we talk about our ideas, our projects. I'm friends with many other authors. I'm friends with a lot of musicians. And we really don't have time to gossip. We just want to talk about the great things that we're doing, and we get excited for each other and share. You know, there's no room for that in our life.
It's not. Garbage don't have time. I already took out my garbage. I should have
exactly.
It. Yeah, my garbage went out, and I don't want more garbage in my house or in my life. That clutters
right.
you up, and it makes you negative, Mayor, when you're around that. You're right.
Yeah. It always, like, it makes, like when I hear gossip, like, I start getting this little pain in my heart. Like, why are we talking about this, you know? And some people just always insist on going there. And then you find, like, as you grow as a person, you don't want to be around those people anymore. You want to be around the people who talk about happy things. And, I mean, I understand life's not all a bowl of cherries, and there's going to be hardships, like, you know, health issues. And, you know, I'm 50 now, I'm going to be 51, and we're all going to have health things sooner or later. You know, that's something serious. But to talk garbage about other people, that's just so unnecessary, and it's such a time waster. It really is.
It is. And, you know, What that made me think, you never know who you would need. He was disrespectful all that time, and now he needed you, and it was like the door has closed. It's too late.
Yeah.
You messed up.
Though I am forgiving. I mean, I am a forgiving person, you know, but it's just like when you're put into an uncomfortable situation like that, it's better that you just say no thank you, you know?
Well, they always say you could forgive, but you don't have to forget.
That's true, too. Yeah, that's true, too.
Now, ma'am, do you
but,
have
I mean,
any
people do, excuse me?
Oh, I was going to ask, do you have any tips for artists who want to go after media coverage but don't know exactly where to start?
Oh, yeah, just your local newspapers. That's like the best. And now it's great because you have so many online local newspapers. Contact the editors. And mind you, they're all going to have different personalities. Some are going to be more welcoming than others. And even if you call your local libraries, if you get a really nice director on the phone and they're not interested in promoting your book or your art or whatever, they might even direct you to somebody else. So, I mean, it's a big world out there, and if you contact enough people, you're going to eventually have somebody who's interested in your product and has ideas and has done it before, and they'll tell you where to go. There's a lot of very, very helpful people out there.
Oh yeah, you just have to keep networking and find out. You can't sit there and expect the opportunity to come to you.
Yeah, just get out there, just let people know what you're doing. And it's a constant. You're constantly doing it, but it's a great feeling, like, wow, this is my life. I'm an author and I get to promote myself and do all these fun things, and what a blessing, you know, same as being a musician or an artist. It's just a very rewarding way to live your life.
It is. And, you know, going back to your book on the guest list, what really inspired you to document your experiences in a memoir?
I never, ever, ever imagined writing a book. It wasn't my dream. I was happy being a journalist. But I kept a lot of diaries, and the more I talked to people, people would say, oh, I'd love to read a book like that. That sounds like a great idea. And, you know, I've been self-employed since 2008, and one summer during a slow period, I had a couple days a week where I could just write, and I just put it all together, and within a year, I published the book.
Okay. Well, that's not
and
too,
I said
that's
I
not...
wanted to keep it positive, which I did. I mean, it's just all happy stories in there.
Well, that's very inspirational. That's what we need. We need positive things. Now, growing up and being bullied, did you get any help from the school officials?
No, not at all. Not at all. And then my homeroom teacher, who actually follows me on Facebook, he actually said to me, I wish I knew you were bullied. I would have helped you. But I think there's a part of you that you have a little bit of shame, like you feel like it's your fault, even though it's not your fault. So if any children are listening, you know, please know it's not your fault. It's the bully's issue. It's not your issue. You're an innocent victim, and you are a victim. But also why I say that, too, I would like to always also point out to the moms, if you do get my book on the guest list, it is a rock and roll book, so there are some curse words in it, so it's not a book for children. It's a little bit racy, but it does have a positive message.
Okay. Well, that's good. Good to know, so don't be going picking it up and oh, I didn't know this was in. No, she just told you. It's not for children.
Yeah, I say, like, rated PG-13, parental guidance, you know.
No, the school official one is helpful either to me either because I didn't go to the school officials a lot, but there was one incident, and it wasn't really bullying, but it was the guy had groped me inappropriately. And I think he was one of the special children, and that's what they would call them at my time, special children. But still, I felt very violated because I never had been through that. So I went back and told all, and that's when the bullies really started coming out then. They started thinking, oh, you should have been happy. And I felt so humiliated. I was like, this is how I supposed to win. And one of the gym teachers, I never forget, he told me, don't go tell your mom. I said, well, I don't understand what you mean. I'll go tell my mom and dad. I went and told my mom and dad, and they was very furious. I sure did. I went back home. I said, he told me not to tell you, mama. He told me not to tell. I'm telling.
Yeah.
You're not going to be groping me in this school and think I'm not going to tell.
Yeah, no, you got to tell.
Yeah, so the teachers were, to me, the teachers then were kind of like, hush, hush, sweet Charlotte. They swept everything up the rug.
And I think, too, like the teachers, because we had so many young teachers in our school, even the older ones, too, I think they wanted the children to think that they were cool, which is absurd, but I think they were afraid to, like, say something to the bullies. And this was in my book, too. One day, three boys were pushing me, and I saw a teacher, like, turning her blind eye, and I screamed. I stuck up to myself. I said, don't you monitor the halls? Look what's going on here. And she ignored me, but another teacher saw what was going on, and he actually suspended one of the bullies, which was pretty good. But the other two got away with it. But it was a small victory for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, growing up, you had, what is dyslexia? Am I saying it correctly?
Yeah, dyslexia. You read numbers and letters backwards.
Okay. Now with that, you made it to become a writer.
Uh-huh.
You didn't let
I just tried so hard. I tried so hard. I just really, really wanted to be a writer. I would get into places like newspapers and magazine, come in like either as a salesperson or a typist or even a data clerk, and then start writing like within 6 months, telling the people, hey, I'm a writer, and then they'd give me a shot. I was so lucky, very, very lucky.
I know, and as always, it always comes back bringing up things about my children. My children have ADHD. Of course, they don't know it right now because they're just eight. They're just willing to play. But I always push them extra hard because I don't want that, if it ever does come up that they have, I don't want that to let them stop them. You could still be as better than any other student who gets an A because you can make an A too.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
But it's hard. It's more of an effort. It's harder, but it's satisfaction when you get there.
It is. They were debating about that on The View too with Whoopi Goldberg and Barbara Walters. They were talking about the issue. The school had, this is what had happened, Mary. The school ended up awarding the students who had A's. So one of the other hosts was commenting on it. She felt that it wasn't right for them to do that. Because what about children who are not making A's? Or what about children who have disabilities? And Whoopi Goldberg had to tell just like this, look, I had disabilities too, but I had to push forward. Why should the A students not be praised if they worked hard to get where they are? And that's what I do with my girls. You can do this. You can get an A too. You don't let your disability stop you. You don't let that get in your way. It's just another excuse to just keep you down. You push hard to get that A too. You could do
it.
Exactly. Unless you just physically and mentally challenged and can't move your arms, then that's probably a different story. But other than that, if you could sit there and read and write, then you could do it. And that's why I do them. You can read and write, you can push just as hard. And I'm not going to let up. Mm-mm.
Right, right.
So, Mary, are you still editing with Patterson Press?
Yes, I'm a journalist with the Patterson Press. I usually write for them maybe lately it's been a little bit less because I'm so busy, so I'd say maybe once a month, but I love writing for Patterson Press because they give me a lot of assignments where I go into the town. And Patterson, I don't know if you're familiar with the town being from Georgia, but it's very high crime rate. But I do focus on all the positive things. The last article I wrote was about the Patterson Museum had an art show for all the children up to the high school, from grade school to high school, all the art they did, and it was a wonderful, wonderful reception. It's actually going on one more week if you're in the Patterson area, the Patterson Museum. They have a wonderful art show. So I just love to be around the kids and interview them and hear all the positive things, what inspires them, what influences them. And Patterson's doing a lot of great things for the children.
Oh, wow. See, that's awesome, getting into the community.
Uh-huh.
So the Patterson, this is nationwide, right?
Anyone can read it because it's online. So, but it is for the Patterson community.
Okay, that's good. Keep the children involved. We got to watch our babies out here because the internet is taking them in so quickly. It's sad. It's getting them all kind of ways. I don't even know if I want mine. That's why I haven't bought them. Well, I won't buy them an iPad for one. I know they'll tear it up. So, but I'm afraid also what message they might get. I'm gonna be sitting right down the computer, right along with them. Mama, I'm gonna do my homework. That's fine. I'm right here. I'm just watching, just making sure.
And it's so, inspiring when I interview these children and I say, what else do you like to do besides art or school? And they say, I love to go outside and play. That is so inspiring to hear, that they're outside playing. They're not always on the computer.
Oh, yes. And then not only that, it drives your brain out. It makes you drowsy just standing on the computer all day. You need to be outside. I think back with the baby boomers, that's my mother's time. You would get thrown out the house, and your parents would tell you then, "Don't come in this house." But I'm hungry. Well, stay on out there. Stay on out there. It's not ready. Dinner is not ready.
Yeah.
See, that was during my mother's time. But when I started getting older, my mother would look out the window because then that was the time. You know, you're snatching up children, and now times even getting worse. Every time I turn on the news, somebody's child getting snatched or you trying to kidnap them. It's like, really? This is so darn sad. Like, I'm not even going to trust you to go to your friend's house.
Right.
I'm not. You want to go to the movies, I need to be there with you. That's how bad it is. I had one of my friends, Mary, tell me, because he grew up with me, he was like, well, don't be so strict like your mom was. First of all, this is what I really want to tell. First of all, don't talk about not being too strict, because the way times are, I'm not going to be strict, but I am definitely going to make sure I watch mine. I'm not going to let you go out there talking about you going to the movies with the little girl and then you're snatched up. No. So you want to call it being strict? So be it. Because times have changed. You're not going outside to skip up and down the street while somebody want to steal or kidnap your child. So I'm sorry. It's just the way the world made it that way. Bad people.
Yeah. Yeah, it's scary.
So, Mara, what at point did you discover this was going to be a career for you, or something that you was going to actually enjoy, going into the music industry, writing?
It wasn't actually till later in life. I was a late bloomer. I didn't know what I wanted to do after high school. College wasn't an option. I was raised in a single parent family, so college wasn't an option. And I always loved to work, though, so that was a good plus in my favor. And then I was at this one company. It was the American Society of Mechanical Engineering, and they were mechanical engineering firm. I worked my way up from data entry up into the accounts receivable department, and the girls upstairs were very nice, and they had me in their little clique, and we would go into New York, go out to dinner a lot, and they were telling me, oh, you know, we work on the newspaper in New York. Maybe you could write for the newspaper, because I told them I like to write. And he said, you know, it's so much fun. We go to the meetings. Maybe you could go with us. So I did, and I started writing for the mechanical engineering newsletter of all things. It was so intelligent, and you know, I just had to, you know, really do a lot of research to do this newsletter, but I did it, and that's where I got, you know, interested in writing. But I always thought of it more as a hobby or a part-time thing. I thought, well, maybe it's going to, you know, pay my bills, but it's not going to pay my rent. I never knew I was going to make a career out of it. And even at Montclair Times, I was just a journalist. I wasn't making a lot of money, so I did a lot of things on the side. I was still young at the time, so I did a lot of modeling. I did DJing. I wrote for other publications. So I always, you know, just hustled. And then eventually everything just worked out, and it was just like once I started my own business, that's when I was able to do it full-time without worrying about part-time stuff. Because not only am I a journalist and an author, I also manage entertainers. And I do a lot of other things. I do editing, book editing. I helped about 8 people get their books published. I'll do typing projects. So it's just all about, you know, what I like to do. And it works.
See, and that was a good thing. And look how far you have come. You are struggling through your disability. Well, I'm not even going to say disability. You went through a trial and tribulation. That's how I like to put it. And you came out on top, and you're involved. You're married, too, aren't you?
Yes, I'm married to a musician. My husband is the love of my life, a very happy marriage, and we just inspire each other. It's just a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Oh, see, how long you been together?
We've been together, I think it's going on 9 years, and we've been married 2 years. Yeah, we got married in 11-9-11, so it's going on 2 years. And our first date was 11-9-05, so so we have a lot of time that we spent together, and, you know, took it nice and slow, and we were just always in love. From our first date, we loved each other. It was wonderful.
See, That's the type, that's what I'm talking about, the passion. It's not even February the 14th, but see, that's the love.
Yep, yeah.
It's amazing. You never know who God might send in your path.
That's a good way to put it, and that's how I said it in my book, too. I said that God had a plan for us, because I figured that was really it.
I just have to say, because I do my show from home, obviously the cable guy is here, and my husband has the cable guy listening to my show. Hey, whatever works, you know. I'm trying to get myself out there. So, hey, everybody listen. Now, can you tell us more about your book? What more do you want to know about it, Mayor?
Oh, about the book? Oh, well, it's on Amazon. It's available on Amazon. And I would just like to say it's a fun book. It's a compilation of stories. What is in the book isn't actually all of what happened. It's only a tiny snippet, so it's a very quick read. You could probably read it in like 2 or 3 sittings, and it's just fun. It's positive. It's a lot from like the punk rock new wave generation, although like in later years I did interview a lot of famous people like Tommy James and the Shondells. I interviewed supermodel Carol Alt. I interviewed the late David Brenner, who just died last week, and it broke my heart.
I read that on Google about that one, about him that you interviewed who passed.
Yeah, I was so upset about that. He was such a nice man, and that was unexpected. He was only in his 70s. But,
wow.
Yeah, it was sad. But, I mean, people are they're all dying left and right. I mean, every time you turn the computer on, another band, the singer from a band called Guar, they were a band I liked when I was younger, and the singer died, and he was only 50. And I just turned on the computer and found that out this morning. So it's, oh boy, you know, life is short. So you got to do what you love in life. And if you're in a job that you don't like it, I encourage people, do everything you can. I mean, look for something that you love to do and start out part-time and then make it full-time, because that's what I do with my business. I started out part-time and then made it full-time. But, you know, don't feel like you're at a dead end, because there's always hope and there's always something that could take you to the next level. And that's what I want to encourage people, because I hate to see people unhappy and feel like they're stuck, because nobody's stuck. There's always hope.
No, no. Only you can make your own self stuck. You just have to keep striving and pushing yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, I guess, in a way, you're taught to just keep striving because there are no guarantees. No, because there were any guarantees of success, but because the act of striving is in itself, the only way to keep faith with life. And I got that. It was another lady. It was a faithful inspiration from Madeleine Albright, and I like her quote, and that's what keeps me going.
Yes, yeah. That's what it is. Just stay around positive people, the people who say you could do it. Not the people that don't believe in you, the people that don't support you. Why even bother, you know? It's just like, why do you want to be around people like that? You know, it's like all about supporting each other and being there and helping each other get to the next level.
Exactly. I don't want to be around people who are going to make me miserable every time I talk about that with you. Like you're a psychiatrist. You're not getting paid. You go to a psychiatrist. You don't pay them and get on that couch and let them listen to all your problems.
Exactly. That's what happened in the bank about a couple of days ago. The teller was confiding in me, saying she was unhappy, and then one of the customers overheard it because I was saying, well, what would you like? You could do something you would like to do. And then the customer was saying, I can't do what I like to do. I got to make money. Well, who says you can't make money doing what you like to do? And he kept screaming and screaming, and I said, wow, I don't want to feel like I'm his psychiatrist to keep telling him you could do it. If he doesn't believe he could do it, nothing I'm going to say is going to help this poor man.
Exactly. And you know what, people, it looks like when you get closer to getting that certain miracle, you always face with that opposition. Like the devil just knows when to come around and want to just ruin it for you. So always like to say, just stay prayed up. That's what you have to do. Keep God first. Stay true to the faith. And that would definitely keep you warm.
Absolutely.
Now, Mary, did bullying have any other effects on you during adulthood? Because I know you said that already you felt that somebody was going to smash to your car. Was there any other effects?
During adulthood, no. You just get like, the typical girls being jealous, and that's so sad too, because to me jealousy is an ugly disease, and I see that very, very often. I did get bullied on the internet as an adult, and it's funny though, the woman who bullied me recently passed away, and my first thought was, oh good, she can't bully me anymore because she's dead now, and which is really sad. But that's why I say to people, is this how you want to be remembered when you die, that you were a bully and people feel relieved that you're gone? No, I don't want that. When I die, I want people to miss me and say she was a great person. I don't want people to say, oh good, she's dead because she's bothering me.
Ding dong, the witch is dead.
Exactly. Exactly.
Came up in my mind. And you're right. You want to treat people right, because I don't want to go down in history. Oh, wow, she was a bully. That's all she did ever and ever. I will think about that if one of my bullies do pass on. Like, that's all you did was just bully me left and right, didn't give me a break. I couldn't survive in middle school.
Yeah, that's true, you know. Like, you don't think about that when you're a little kid being bullied, that, you know, wow, someday I might outlive this person, you know. If you thought about that when you're a kid, it might make you chuckle, you know.
Exactly. And jealousy is just, it's just too much. The only one we're supposed to be cherishing right now is God. You know, we let it go too far.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just like, I don't know what that feeling of jealousy is. Like, if I think someone is so beautiful or they have something great, about them, I feel like I'm in awe of them. Like, I have so many wonderful friends and clients, and like, even you, like, I'm in awe of you. Like, I saw your picture. Oh, she's so pretty, you know? And I always feel that excitement and those little, you know, shivers, like, wow, what a great life, and we have all these wonderful people making this life so cool. And why be jealous when you could have that euphoric feeling instead?
Exactly. Because I don't look at that, and it don't make me upset if somebody appears to be nice looking more than me. I don't let that bother me at all.
No,
I don't.
It's not.
Yeah, it's just too, it's too much.
Yeah, because it's like everyone has their bad days, and, you know, some days when, I know, you walk out of the house and you feel like, oh, boy, I don't even want to look in the mirror. But then other people will say, gee, you look good today. And you're like, oh, do I? I don't think so. But yeah, I would never say that to someone, because then you're insulting them for them telling you you look good. You're insulting their taste, you know.
Exactly. And that's definitely a sin of being jealous. Oh. But now, Mayor, I know that you deal with Pear Tree Enterprises. What do they actually do?
That's my company. It's just a home-based company. Once in a while, I hire help, but mostly it's just me. I actually manage senior entertainers, where I get them jobs in libraries and assisted living facilities. It's also me editing books, me doing proofreading and typing projects. So it's a variety of talents that I put together under the umbrella of Pear Tree Enterprises for tax purposes. I created a name for it. And people could just go to my website, peartreeenterprises.com, and you could go through the archives and see all the things that I do and all the things that I could do for you. My rates are reasonable. And interesting, many of my clients become friends.
Okay. Now, so that's basically what you do there. Are there any other duties that you have going on there?
No, that's it. I'm just running Pear Tree. And also, too, like, I also do a lot of promotions for people. And so that's it. I forgot to tell you the most fun thing. I'm also a public speaker. I do a series of lectures that I go into libraries and assisted living facilities, too. So that's another part of Pear Tree.
Oh, see, now that's awesome. See, how you're moving along on up the chart. I'm so happy for you, though.
Thank you.
Especially since we know we were in the same boat, that bullying, but we overcame that.
Yes, everybody could.
Exactly, and look where we are today. So I'm happy for you. Mayor, is there anything else that you would like to give the listeners? Give them your website probably one more time if they're just tuning in, your book site, so they can get all this good information.
Okay, on the guest list, Adventures of a Music Journalist, that could be found on Amazon.com or Next Century Publishing. Pear Tree Enterprises, my business is www.peartreeenterprises.com, Pear Tree Enterprises, not Peach Tree. Some people say Peach Tree, but it is Pear Tree. And if any parents, if your kids are being bullied and they want to reach out to me, I answer all my emails. You can find my email address on my website. You could find me on Facebook. I help people. I could do anything I could do for you. Just reach out. If I can't help you, I know somebody that could. I just want to make the world a better place to live in, and all of us helping each other. That's what life's all about.
Well, Mayor, I really appreciate that you were on today. I really do. Oh, but before we get off, I see we have a caller calling in. Caller?
Oh, cool.
Hello.
Hi.
Go ahead. We got a minute left to the clock.
well, we've been having a lot of – I know it's not contained what y'all were talking, but I just want to get this point across. We had a lot of violence up here with this. With the kid, young kids up here, and they had buried one Friday, Saturday, now we got one that got killed Saturday night. So I'm planning out doing my own protest this week, get me a sign made, and just have a sign that says stop the violence, man. Cause I got a fire burning me right now. I can't see to let it go.
Yeah, and you're not supposed to. It's sad that it has become this way, to lead into the violence because of bullying in school. That's why I was. That's what Mary and I was talking about. We have to just watch our children today.
That's right. I know you've been following my posts with what's been going on up here. I know you have.
Oh yeah, but since we get short on time, I hope that you did get Mayor, so that way you could probably be able to communicate. But on for tomorrow, I have Wendy Dober, who is also Mary Ann's friend as well. They know each other, and she will be discussing about her book, The Girl Next Door. So please do tune in at 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. And make sure you check out my Facebook fan page, everybody. I got a new cover photo. So, hey, it's the Bright Side with Technician. Other great things coming up. You can hit me at Twitter at TDay60. You can find me on Google. I'm there. LinkedIn, I'm there. Hey, baby, I'm everywhere. So, you know, just hit me up. But, Mayor, I thank you so much for being on this show. My guest, James, I thank you for tuning in. Thank you so much. And all of you, have a blessed one.
Very nice talking to you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. But before we get on off the air, I do want to play one last song for all the people out there who think they have been bullied and no one is listening. We are.
Mommy, they call me names, they wouldn't let me play. I'd run home, sit and cry almost every day. Hey Jessica, you look like an alien. With green skin, you don't fit in this Satan. Oh, they pulled my hair, they took away my chair. I keep it in and pretend that I didn't care. Hey Jessica, you're so funny. You've got teeth just like the sunny. Oh, so you think you know me now. Have you forgotten how you would make me feel when you tread my spirit down? But thank you for the pain. It made me raise my game. And I survived it. Yeah. To make it go, go for broke. So you're smoking out alone. Are you laughing now? Are you laughing now? You raise the bar, can't be hard. Say it, God, be it so. Are you laughing now? Are you laughing now?
Thank you for tuning in to The Bright Side with Tanisha.
Come back daily from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern.
God bless.